Clubhouse. I am
This is Caroline.
Hey, this is Aisha.
And today we're talking about RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 5, Episode 1.
Damn, that's a mouthful.
That's what she said, Aisha. We are back, you guys, to talk reality TV with you guys because this is just such good fun. Who doesn't love RuPaul?
Come on. I mean, if you don't love RuPaul, just get out right now.
You have a problem.
You have a problem.
Okay?
You do.
You really do. I love Ru.
Mama Ru is the queen of all queens, and
I just love her. I mean, she's just, RuPaul, I just love her.
We got to talk about All-Stars because this is the best of the best every time they pull in an All-Star. And season five, that's it. There's only 5 seasons of this. So it means there's not that many queens that are considered the best of the best. So we got to get into it.
That's amazing. Okay, yeah. So first of all, I want to be super upfront. I am familiar with RuPaul. I love a good drag queen. I have gone to drag queen lunches in multiple states. Okay, brunches, if you will. We've had all kinds of good fun in the drag queen world. However, I'm very new to All Stars. How about you, Aisha? What's your background with Ru?
So I've been a longtime fan of RuPaul's Drag Race from, I guess, about season 9, season 10. That's where I really picked it up. I've been watching it with my daughters, my older daughters, and we just jumped in and we couldn't get enough. And then we binged all the All Stars, had to buy some of them that weren't even available.
Oh my gosh.
We were that obsessed. And also last year just went to the Work the World tour that came by in Houston. So it was fabulous.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. I want to hear a lot more about that. But first I want to know, what draws you to the drag queen world, Aisha? What for you makes this a fun watch?
For me, I love makeup. I love fashion. I like that over the top feeling of giving zero fucks and just going for it, being your authentic self and just like getting out there and doing what you want to do. And for the drag queens on the show, they all say drag doesn't tell you who you are. It reveals who you are. I think that's the quote.
I think it reveals.
Reveals who you are. I messed that quote up totally. But the point is that it reveals your inner self. And I feel like watching this show has just opened my eyes to the whole deal. It just makes me feel like, it makes me feel good to watch it. It's happy. It's funny. They don't hold back. They go right for each other. Like the insults are top notch. I mean, I don't even know. There's so many things I could tell you that I love about it, but it's the best reality for me to watch. That's it.
So for me, what brings me to the drag world, Aish, is that, first of all, I love the whole concept of dressing up. I love costumes. I love Halloween. I love all that kind of stuff. I love transformative. I'm a makeover girl, like every day of the week. If you could show me a makeover show, I'm there. I don't care if you're making over your house or your dog or your neighbor or whatever you're doing. I love a transformation. I am absolutely astounded at the way that these different individuals are able to change their face. Most people think, oh, you know, my cheek should be a little pinky and like, you know, my lips should be a little rosier or whatever. And like, that's the extent of what we really understand about makeup. And then when you see these pros get on here with this contouring and just, it's like magic
to me.
It
is magic. It's art. It truly is.
It really is. And that portion, that artistic vibe is another huge draw for me because the creativity, I can understand the reveal part of it because I feel like in order for me to be able to come up with like a persona, I would really have to dig deep into like, who am I? What do I want to present to the world? Mm-hmm. And if you've never really done that introspection, you know, people go their whole lives without asking themselves, who am I and what do I look like to the world?
I mean, look at how long it took us to figure out what our drag names would be. And should we share it with listeners?
I really think we should.
If it took that long to figure out what our drag names should be, could you imagine how long it would take to put yourself in a full drag hole from top, from head to toe? It would take forever.
Okay, so here's the thing. So my daughter uses sign language. She is deafblind. And when it comes to sign, you have a name sign, right? And yep. within deaf culture, it is a must that a person who is deaf gives you the name sign. You don't just give it to yourself.
Oh, okay.
So I've got to tell you that I have some trepidation about the fact that we just chose our own. Like, I was like, shit, should we have had a true drag queen assess us?
These should be tentative.
Give
then.
It to us. Yeah, I think this. We should say these are preliminary.
These are preliminary names, and we will need a true drag queen
and if
to bequeath.
We might need a reading.
Bequeath.
Yeah, we might need names. A reading at some point and get the real deal. Right. But for now, can I introduce to you Shanita Margarita?
Hello, everybody. Nice. Applause.
I love it. Okay. I love it. I love it.
And may I introduce to you the fabulous Miss Orgasma Thunderfuck.
All right. Woo! That's me, girls. Right. That's me.
All right. That was...
We're so weird in that we really had to think about it. And you know what, though? But it did reveal me because... I was like, it has to be something sex related. Like, that's the only thing I'm going to think is like representative of me. Like, I don't want anything. It never
Sass.
Occurred to me.
Sass. Yeah.
And it Period. Never occurred to me, though, to go anywhere towards anything else. Like, I didn't right. I didn't need to be in any other arena. No. Like, I know my lane.
You didn't need to like okay? a Mary Poppins name.
No.
You didn't need like, no, nobody wants anything sweet and dainty. Here.
You, on the other hand.
I went straight for alcohol, folks.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I knew you should. And so it really revealed quite a bit about you.
I will say I did get some inspiration from the celebrity drag race that just was on from Miss Tammy Roman, who chose Shanita Cocktail.
Nice.
That was her name. And I thought, you know what? I like it. But for me, it would have been Shanita Margarita.
I love that.
So I will.
And you know my feeling on orgasms.
Who does not like them? Pro or con?
Think about that for a moment. Like picking a name that is something everyone loves.
Yeah. Brilliant.
That
brilliant.
Reveals quite a you're bit brilliant. About me, though. Yeah. I need to be a little I'm bit saying. Loved and praised by others.
You're brilliant. You are.
And I accept your praise.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'm glad you did.
Let's get into the rules of the show here, because this is... a brand new twist that they're offering yes. up this time. So in the past, the old rules were we had the top two queens at the end of all the challenges, and they were going to have to battle out in a lip sync battle. Mm-hmm. They each had picked a name of who that they were going to be eliminating, and depending on who won the battle, their pick got to go home.
Right.
Had to go home, I exactly. should more say, right? But this time, huge twist. We're adding in a roomocracy.
Right? A roomocracy, man.
Yeah. So, in this time, we're only going to have one top queen at the end of the challenge. She has one name picked. And then all the other drag queens that are left, they have to pick a name collectively. They're all going to vote. And then that is the secondary option. Can you tell me a little bit about this lip sync assassin?
Well, what happens is after they all vote Survivor style, aka Survivor style or Big Brother style or however you want to look at it, they come up with that one person that's going to, you know, go out. And then the secret assassin comes out. Nobody knows who it is. And they pop up and they are going to battle the winner. And whoever wins that is the person that goes home. If the assassin wins, then the roomocracy dictates who goes home. But if the winner wins, then she gets to decide who goes home. So it was a little bit like, whoa, let me, it was a mouthful. I had to take a second to realize what was going on here. But once I got it, okay, it makes sense.
Do you like the new rules better than the old rules? Or, I mean, for me, I was seeing this as a very new person. I was seeing this as the secret lip sync assassin offers the show an opportunity to bring in a couple of different elements. The element of surprise, right? Mm-hmm. You get a big reveal. But additionally, you also get to bring back people who weren't a part of the All-Stars but were fan favorites.
Exactly. And nobody likes fan favorites more than RuPaul's Drag Race. I mean, they love to bring back queens for challenges. They'll bring back queens for mentoring, whatever. Especially the one that they brought back this week, which is our winner, Evie Oddly, from last season previous. Not last season, but the one before. And so I think it's going to be very interesting to see who they're going to... I know I already have a list of who I think is coming back. Probably some of the ones that we've seen in celebrity ones, in Celebrity Drag Race as well, too. So I'm hoping we get a little bit more of those queens. And I'll get into those if you want to know later. But
I am excited.
Yeah,
we'll leave that for the prediction section, I should say.
Yes.
Okay, so I am very excited to get a chance to actually meet the queens. This is my first time meeting most of these queens, Aisha. I do not know them, but they were familiar faces to you.
Some of them, yes. Some of them, no. There was, okay, let's see. There's one, two, three, four. Four queens from season five and before.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't watching RuPaul's Drag Race that early.
And that's some, so that's some like OGs.
Those are OGs, yeah. Especially Angina, Miss Season 1.
Oh my goodness, Angina. I know, Angina,
Season 1. And then we've got several queens from Season 3. And then the ones I knew were more like the 8s, 9s, and 10s. So you're, you know, the ones that were more recent. But I got to say, I was very surprised to see them bring back some of those older seasons and mix them in. So that's kind of cool.
So at a glance, I would say that I noticed quite a bit of diversity with this crew. We did have like older, younger, smaller, thicker, all different colors of the rainbow, all different nationalities being represented. I felt like we were seeing quite a bit of diversity. Is that typical?
Yes. Well, actually, I would say that there were more Black queens in previous seasons. So I was surprised that there was only a couple this season. And I would say there's only two, Mayhem and Shay, for Black queens. But and usually RuPaul always likes to put in a lot more Black queens in the cast. So I was like, oh, okay.
I wonder what that's about.
I don't know. It just so happened, I guess. But there was a very, very good mix of, like you said, shapes and
mm-hmm.
and ages and
I would say personalities definitely,
absolutely.
Too. Like, I mean, there were people who were very unsure of themselves. There were people who were far more confident. Although I have to say, Aisha, again, being very new to this, I don't even know what the right word is. I don't want to say surprised or if maybe pleasantly surprised at how open they all are about their own insecurities.
Oh, yeah.
This is not a situation where people are coming in acting like they rule the world and never have those moments where they reveal their vulnerabilities. Everyone seemed to have a moment where they were like, so turns out I'm a little unsure of myself mm-hmm. and I'm, you know, feeling a little bad about this. Or we actually witnessed like Angina have a case of the nerves and mm-hmm. forget her routine. And that seems like practically sacrilege, doesn't it? That it's like, what do you mean?
Like you're not new to this shit. What
yeah,
happened?
How do you get like that nervous? But at the same time, I was like, okay, so this is a lot about heart, you know, and being willing to expose all of your vulnerabilities.
Well, so like most of these queens, and I would say all of these all-stars, I mean, these guys have been working their asses off. They work night after night. They work weekends. They work shows. A lot of them travel and do traveling shows, things that are like all over the country, all over the world. I know Miss Cracker's been all over the world. She's the one that came to Houston. She was doing that 26 city tour.
Wow.
And then they went overseas. There was, I mean, I'm sure all of these queens have bust their ass on a regular basis. So they all know the platform that they're on because they were already on the season. Some of them have been on two seasons, have been on regular seasons and All Stars. And to come back and get that platform again, it just steps up their career. So they know what it can do for them. And so I think it comes with a lot of pressure. A lot.
You could tell that. And so do you enjoy the fact that, or I guess I want to say, is it heartwarming to you or is it endearing to you that they are so open for the most part? I mean, there were very few, even in episode one, who didn't have a moment where they were like, maybe I should have done it a little different.
Right.
You know?
Well, they're human, right? I mean, it's kind of nice to see that and that they're not just putting on some sort of like whole, you know, airs about it and like thinking that they're the best, even though they've all got confidence. You got to have confidence to be a drag queen, but they do have those insecurities. And yeah. I like to see that vulnerability. I do. So
you and I both watch other reality shows. And I would say that revealing your insecurities on the regs is not a hallmark of reality competition shows. I mean, when I watch Amazing Race or when I watch Big Brother or Survivor, each week they don't typically say, boy, I'm feeling kind of bad this week.
No, in fact, they lie.
They lie all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
And really, for the most part, it'll be like on Survivor, it'll be like, you know, three quarters of the way through and they finally crack
right.
and expose that they are actually nervous or embarrassed about something that happened or they misstep in some way. But this is like day one out of the gate.
I know.
We're already like, look at me, world. I'm doing my best, and it's hard.
Well, the thing is like, those are games, and this is a competition, and I think they all know it's a competition, but some way, they all feel like sisters. This they call it a sisterhood after they complete these shows, and a lot of the queens are good friends, so you can't forget that. This is not them just coming out that he just pulled these people out of everywhere, and none of them know each other. A lot of them have been on tour together, sleeping in the same tour bus. They're like besties. And you know what? And they have these like relationships that they form. And as we've seen on this one, also enemies have formed because it's just part of life, you know, right?
Oh, you know, like one thing that like struck me while you were talking was about the idea that unlike things like Amazing Race or maybe Big Brother, maybe Survivor, but this is like how well you entertain and maintain your persona, which is very personal, versus you fell off a balance beam, so therefore you don't win immunity this week on Survivor, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not about like who I am in my heart, okay?
No, right.
But if you come on and your outfit is janky and your hair is all screwed up and you did your makeup all...
Your wig is messed up.
Yeah, like, right? Your wig is all askew. Like, this is you. Like, this is you putting your heart out there of who you think you are. And so then when someone says and they look at you and they say, you look like shit... I mean, that's a lot more personal.
Your contour is messed up.
Yeah, like that's a lot more personal.
Oh, it's very personal.
Than just, I didn't make the basket during the challenge. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, that's just like, oh, well. The
whole point of this show is about, yes, there is talent involved in the challenges, but largely it is based upon your physical outward appearance. Somebody is judging you by putting their eyes on your body,
right,
and your face, and how well you painted and beat your face, and your body, and how well you put yourself into your outfit and everything down to your fingernails and your high heels.
Right.
So that is personal.
Super personal.
Imagine someone doing that to you. You'd spent 2 hours getting ready, and you go out for dinner, and somebody berates you from head to toe.
Not only that, then also says, I've been eliminated from dinner.
Absolutely.
And like, I have to go home. I'd be like, I'm outraged and hungry.
I'd be like, in tears.
Exactly. Right. So this, I understand the difference here. Just in us discussing it, I get why the insecurities come up more than in other reality shows, because it's just so personal. So let's get into our contestants.
Okay. So we've got Shea Coulee, Season 9, Miss Cracker. Season 10, Alexis Mateo. She's Season 3 in All Stars 1. Blair St. Clair. Season 10, Mariah Balenciaga. Season 3, India Farah from Season 3. Jujubee from Season 2 in All Stars 1. Derek Barry from Season 8. Mayhem Miller from Season 10. And Angina from Season 1. Those are our queens.
So did you have like a gut instinct to this group? Like, or I should say, did you have like a gut reaction? Like, you know, when they're first coming out, they do their first reveal. You know, the other drag queens react like, oh, I didn't have any idea you were coming. Like that kind of business. Was there anyone who stuck out to you as like highs, lows, or what the fuck? Why are you here?
Well, highs, I would say for me was Blair St. Clair. So when she came out for her season on season 10, she was very prim. When I said Mary Poppins to you earlier, it was her. She was very prim and proper. She looked like she was 15 years old. And we were all like, who is this? But she grew. So when she came back and she looked so, I don't know, so much edgier. I was like, okay, let's see what she's going to bring now. Like, where has her drag gone since season 10?
I love it.
And then conversely, when I saw Ms. Derek Barry, I thought the whole, and he was saying that he did not want to do the whole Britney Spears thing. And then he was coming in looking like Britney Spears. And so then I thought, oh, I don't know. I really don't know where this is going. Sounds like the same old tricks you got in your back pocket there.
Derek is such a tough one for me because he just seems like, I don't know that drag queen is even the right category. Because right? he's an impersonator. He's an entertainer, but he doesn't seem like he is like in the lifestyle in the same vein. Now, I could be grossly wrong, and so you just tell me if I am. But the fact that he doesn't have a drag name, he goes by Derek Barry.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure that maybe is not his God-given name, okay? But, and the fact that he identifies basically as Britney.
As Britney, right.
Which is not the same thing as what we just talked about, like looking into your introspection, pull yourself out, show your personality on your face, in your outfit, in your accessories. Derek just feels like from a different category of entertainer.
I get it.
Am I off with that?
No, I mean, I think it's definitely your opinion to feel that way. And I feel similar in that way because I really feel like he hasn't developed in all these years since season 8. He's not developed who he really is. He's just impersonate. He did impersonations.
Yeah.
That was his talent.
Right.
So I'm with you on that. And
I'm just kind of confused.
I hope he figures it out.
Yeah, because it's okay to be an impersonator.
That's
like
fine.
If that's what
and
you
I'm sure
are.
He has, I am sure he has an amazing career doing what he's doing. I'm sure he's selling shit out and, you know, wowing people all the time.
Okay, maybe I need to ask this and maybe you're not qualified to answer, okay?
Right.
But if you're an entertainer who, in your impersonating, you do somewhat of the opposite sex, all right? Mm-hmm. So you happen to be a man and you are going to dress as a woman. Say you're a player on Saturday Night Live, right? And you're an entertainer, and so you dress as someone of the opposite sex or what have you.
Right.
That does not, to me, make you a drag queen. Like, a drag
Absolutely
queen is a
not.
Whole different thing.
Yes.
So then
that's
for
belittling
Derek,
the whole thing to just putting on clothes.
So am I off in thinking, like, I don't know if, like, where's the line, I guess?
Well,
or is it just if you identify as a drag queen, that's all everybody needs to know?
There's a difference between putting on drag and being a drag queen.
Very important distinction.
In my own mind, this is how I've thought of it. I don't know.
So we are not experts?
I am not an expert, so I don't
know.
So
we're
just
putting this out there, but I like the way you're talking.
But yeah, I think there's a difference. I think that, you know, you can put on drag, and a lot of the young men that are on this show have spoken out and said for many years, I went into my mom's closet and I put on her clothes and I felt better and I felt great. And it wasn't about, this is not about being transgendered. This is not that. It's about feeling better and just in putting on women's clothes and dressing up in that way. And that's just that's getting into a little bit of drag and kind of feeling how it is. And I think when they've explained, that wasn't necessarily, they weren't drag queens at the time.
Okay.
They were just getting into drag. It was just like an innocent thing. And, or even for people who are not
just
innocently
sort of
doing it.
Just
exploring.
Okay.
Exactly. And so I think there's a difference between just that and then also like being a drag queen is they're an entertainer.
Right.
They are, it's a job. It's a career.
Right.
So you can pretend to be that career.
Right.
Or you could be in the career. You know what I mean?
I see.
Does that
what
make
you're
sense?
Saying.
Am I
do.
Explaining that right?
I think so. Yes. Like it feels like there's a different like volume knob on becoming a drag queen, and it's just leaning in versus like this is your life. This is who you really
are. But for
are.
Him, I don't know. He's already leaned all the way in. So
I'm
it's
struggling
a
with him.
Curious cat on that one.
And the quote that keeps going around about him on Twitter and whatnot is that whole thing where he's like, everybody's telling me to be somebody, but I'm already somebody who I am. This is paraphrased.
Mm-hmm.
And so he feels like he is being his true self, and his true self is a Britney impersonator. And I'm like, okay, and I hear you, but at the same time, I mean, people are like applauding that, like, yeah, that's who he is. And I'm like,
They're like, okay.
I just
but
don't
it's
know.
Not. It's another person.
Yeah.
I mean, he can say it all he wants.
I think
it's one of those things that everybody kind of sees it and he doesn't see it.
Mm.
You know, and maybe he will.
Maybe he will.
After all this, maybe he'll watch the show as it's coming out and be like, oh my gosh, you know, who knows?
Okay, so who was a true, like, yes, I'm so glad this queen is here?
I would say Ms. Cracker, because you can always rely on a good laugh. Like, she brings the comedy. Point blank, period. She's going to bring some comedy. And so I was absolutely excited to see her. And I have to say that when Alexis Mateo came out and her full Puerto Rican, like,
beautiful
flag and the bodysuit, I was like, you better work on that. Like, that was great. And I loved her dancing. So, yeah. So those were my favorites. What about you?
I am going to say that the people that stood out for me, Miss Cracker definitely stood out to me because she just has such a specific character, if you will, that is just...
Shtick?
Yeah, yeah. And I love it. And I love that, you know, if anyone that I'm going to gravitate towards, like you gravitate towards dance, mm-hmm. I'm going to gravitate towards the comedy
absolutely,
side. Yeah. You know, I'm going to look for that person who I think is like really, really trying to hone this craft and do like a great... You know, a tight 10, if you will.
A tight 10.
You know, like, I'm super impressed with all of that. So I did really like her. Jujubee, I thought, was so beautiful. I just really felt like she was bringing such a different vibe in terms of that, like, Joan Crawford, like, this really...
Elegant.
Yeah, like, sophisticated, yeah. Very... it was a very different drag than I had ever seen, because in my mind, I put drag on the side of like very outrageous, very in your face, very just big and out there, right? Like I would say Alexis Mateo is.
Right, right.
Okay. All the feathers, showgirl, beautiful, huge, right?
Right.
And then when you have someone like Jujubee who comes out and they're wearing this long black gown
right.
and, you know, their hair is just so and their makeup's just so and they're not in your face
right.
in that same way. But at the same time, they're so enchanting uh-huh. and elegant.
Beautiful.
I mean, it's just such a different side of drag that I think most people don't think of.
I don't think so either. You're right.
At all. I mean, they think of those people almost as impersonators. Like they would say, oh, well, she's probably more like a, like someone you might see at like a theme restaurant or something like that, right? Like you're dressed up as a
right.
celebrity or something. But I love that. I love that that's a thing.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
That's
it's
a
totally different
lane.
Type of. Yes,
yeah.
exactly. It's totally different drag.
I loved that very much. The person I would tell you that probably is the most confusing to me is Angina, to be honest with you.
Most confusing.
Yeah, because Derek Barry, I get, and I can kind of put him like over here and be like, okay, I get what you're trying to do.
Right.
Angina?
Not sure.
Well, she doesn't seem to know if she's comedy, is she... Dancing,
yeah. Is she? Yeah, you're
her
right.
Her overall look, to me, in a Tim Gunn-ism, feels very unresolved. You know, like, she may put on the outfit, but she doesn't go to, like, that next level. Like we were discussing Derek Barry and, like, the chest and, like, how he goes about doing, like, the chest plate. And, I mean, so many of everyone does, but you could see, like, the actual,
yeah.
you know, like, boobs in
yeah,
this
yeah.
whole, like, scenario. And it was like, wow, that is just, like, special effects makeup. You know, like, that's really amazing.
Amazing, yeah.
And then, like, when Angina comes out and does, like, the talent show, literally... I mean,
no wig,
right? Which the
no,
wig is a
no
big,
breasts.
Okay, here's the thing about what you guys got to know about me. Wigs is something I call my own hair wig. Okay, and I mean, my son was like, I was joking with him. I told him I could die now because I know I'm firmly in his heart. Because he goes, Mom, I need to get a haircut. I'm ready to get rid of this wig. And I was like, I love it, and now I can depart because I know I'm firmly in your heart, right? But it just, there's something about lacking that part that just felt unfinished. And I get it that that's her look, but
I need to see more, and I need
it.
To see if, because I have zero experience with her as a drag queen. So I've got to see more of her to make up my opinion. I'm going to pause before I say anything else about her because I really got to see more and see if she just was a ball of freaking nerves on this very first episode and she steps her pussy up
mm-hmm.
or she just continues to just stay at that level, because I'm just like it's like a question mark in my head. After
yeah,
seeing
unresolved,
her, like,
right?
Unresolved is perfect.
Vagina just feels unresolved for me.
So
like,
we
I
need
can't
to see more.
Quite figure her out. I really right. can't.
She's, and she is, we were laughing so hard because she is mm-hmm. such like in all the like, all the conversations too, mm-hmm. like trying to get all
oh
the tea,
gosh, yes.
trying to see who's upset with who, getting in those conversations. I thought, oh, she's a shitster.
Okay,
I can't wait for this.
So let's talk about some of the shit because I want to talk about how
okay,
Vagina
please.
Like injected herself because yes. that was so funny. And you know what? That to me is where she is somebody who's a drag queen. Like she is extra.
Yeah.
You know, like
she is, right. she is extra.
She is extra, and that to me, that's where you're a drag queen. Okay, Derek yes. Berry, I don't think you're extra. I'm sorry.
You're boring.
You're boring. You're just an impersonator. You're a Vegas level impersonator. That's awesome. But
he also did a whole lot of crying in his confessionals.
How do you feel about that?
I'm anti-crying.
I am also anti-crying. But when you get us together, we're kind of like
bitches.
Your hardest ass bitches. Like if you're crying, we're not the girls who are going to start crying with you. We're going to stare at you and go be like, did you need to go get yourself together and then come back? Because
we love you still, but
right,
get
but,
it together.
Yeah. Like get a backpack.
Actually,
get your shit.
No, don't
get it together.
Let's give us some.
It's not that we're not compassionate.
We are problem solvers.
Right.
That's it. I show my compassion
right.
in helping you solve said problem so
agree.
That you will stop crying.
So the first thing, though, I want you to stop crying, right? Because that is just, when it comes to problem solving, I feel like crying is the biggest waste of energy, you know? It's
I
like,
mean,
I get it. You know, we all grieve
gotta
in
let
different
it out.
Ways.
I know.
I get it. And like maybe after the fact, you can cry tears of joy. But just fucking just.
But the whole episode, he was crying. And
yeah.
I just feel like that was an indication of where he was in his life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And
unresolved.
All points lead mm-hmm. to unresolved
yeah.
because he couldn't get it together.
Yeah.
And so I think it was very evident. We should have just seen the writing on the wall when it was
yeah.
presented to us of who was going home. But I just feel like
Angina's not
the type of person that is doing that. It's just that she's got her own issues that we're going to have to figure out what's
yeah.
going on.
She's a different unresolved, for sure.
Why you're so interested in being involved in everybody. Maybe it's her gameplay. Maybe it's her strategy.
Okay, I'm going with a different
being
direction.
Everybody's friend.
Well, I'm going with a different direction. I am going to go with the idea that sometimes people who don't clearly know who they are tend to play this mirror game where they just kind of run around to other people and kind of point stuff out and like kind of reflect the person back to themselves.
Oh, well,
it's a little game, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But it's so that you don't ever take the mirror out of my hands and look at me and say, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
But who are you? So like when she comes over and she's like, what's your business? I want to know your business. But think about it, at the end of the day, we don't know Angina's business.
Absolutely nothing.
I don't know her business.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
yeah.
a take
yeah.
on how to handle people. You know,
yeah.
that's you don't have to share shit about yourself if you go around getting
asking
into other
questions.
People's shit, right? So oh my God, let's get into this Derek Berry and India mess.
The feud. I don't even know what it's about. I mean, I'm not even gonna
it sounds
begin.
Like it's real life work.
It's real life shit. And
yeah.
I told you they interact all the time, all of them, especially the ones in the same damn cities. I bet you if we looked it up and figured out which cities they all work in,
oh,
half
bet, yeah.
of them are probably, or most of them probably all New York.
Yeah.
And then maybe some of them are like LA.
Yeah.
I don't even know because they're most of the drag queens that they do in this show, it seems like they're all New York queens.
Huh.
New York, New York, New York every time. And I'm like, damn, they must all know each other. But, and they do to an extent. Some of them belong to the same houses. They have the same drag mothers.
What? What?
So,
I don't know what
okay.
you're talking about. What's a drag mother?
Rewind. Okay. So in the drag world, you have a drag mother and you have a house. So the house of whatever, House of Edwards. So let's say Alyssa Edwards. She's a very famous drag queen, right? She's got House of Edwards. And under the House of Edwards, she's got all these drag queens she brought up under her. So they call her mother.
Whoa.
So that's how it works. So everybody's in a house.
Okay.
And you're in a drag family.
Why do they not say this stuff like on?
Because they don't want to point out who knows each other and who's got those tight that you don't want to, you know, I'm sure all of them know.
Sure, of course.
Who knows who, right?
Right, right.
But if you're a drag family, you're not going against your sister.
Yeah.
Your
good
true
call.
Sister.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, that's how the houses work. So
whoa, I had no idea. That's an extra layer of drama. I was
so
not
think about that
for.
Drama, okay? So then you bring that stuff from the real life into a show and then expect to compete. And then other people are like, wait a minute, you already have a fucking alliance.
Yeah.
You literally work with this bitch
every
day of the week.
Right. Right.
And you live in the same apartment?
Oh, like, my God.
Or whatever. You know what I mean?
Right, right, right. Yeah.
I'm not saying that that's the case with them, but it could be.
I feel
and
you.
And so that's why it can get so contentious in these shows.
Okay. Okay, so speaking of... Okay, so the India Derrick Barry thing, from what I gathered, was a social media blitzing, basically.
Yeah.
There was some unemployment issue that also, whether Derrick actually quit, didn't quit, other people got hired for that job... got pissed about that and the whole attitude of like, well, but if you left that job, someone else needed to take that job.
Right.
Why are you dragging them through the mud? Like, that's pretty much bullshit, which I got to agree. Like, what the fuck? Were you... What, who you
no
care
idea.
Who they hire next?
I know.
You know, if you quit, like, what are you doing?
Exactly. Move on.
I don't know. It's just, maybe it comes under the heading expecting other people to carry grudges with you against the same people.
Yeah, I think so.
And I don't go in for that ever, so... Okay, so let's get into our quick drag.
Okay, quick drag. And usually what they do is they'll do this quick drag in the beginning of these episodes, and then it's like they got 5 to 10 minutes to get in a quick drag, and then they have a quick competition where they win some sort of prize.
Okay.
And lo and behold, they brought Ricky Martin out as like their... as the judge, when usually RuPaul's the one who does the quick judging.
He was so funny to see because, you know, we grew up with him, so he's so adorable and so cute, but also he seemed a little bit...
This is your own... This is only you.
Okay. Well, Cammy said it too. He just looked like a dad.
I did not think he looked like a dad.
I just didn't think that I don't think he brought the extra...
He's not extra, though.
But if you're going to be on RuPaul Drag Race, you don't, like, do a little something-something. Talk to me about Carson Kressley doesn't do a little something-something.
Well, they're judges. I mean, he's a judge.
He's a guest judge this week. He's coming in with his, like, loungewear.
He's every week.
Well, I'm just saying.
But
okay,
you know what I mean? Like,
feel me.
Well, okay, if you watch a little more, you'll see that the celebrity guests, when they come on there, sometimes they're all funny and like kooky, and they bring that level of like what you're looking for. And sometimes they're kind of like that, like how Ricky Martin was. Kind of
just
like,
what's that now?
Well, just kind of just normal.
Okay.
You know, like...
See, I didn't even take it as normal. I took it as, like, this is what he would have worn on a regular...
like a regular
Friday
night. Friday
afternoon.
Right.
Not even night.
Okay,
not
Friday
even
afternoon.
Night. Friday
3
afternoon. 3 p.m. Yeah, for carpool or whatever. And
he is a dad.
And,
I mean...
And he represented, okay?
Oh my gosh.
He's like, I'm a dad and I'm going to look like a dad. I mean, he...
So you're saying he did not come out as that... That teen heartthrob that we all remember.
No, not even a little. And in fact, if he was a straight guy, he would have come out in Dockers and a collared shirt. And so, did he have a little bit more style?
You're just saying
he was wearing like white,
underwhelming.
Yeah, he was wearing like white linen pants and like a button down. What's happening? Someone like gunning something on here. No, I didn't. No, you're just wearing like a button. I don't even know. It doesn't matter. The outfit just, I think underwhelming is the right word. Especially, I just think if you're in a room full of drag queens, just dress like you're going out a little bit, okay? Like, you don't have to be like so casual, right? Now, having said that, Ricky Martin's adorable. Love him, love him, love him. And when he bit his lip at one point during the judging, shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Gift that shit and send it over to me. I need that. From a private library. Ooh. Speaking of libraries.
Fine. It's time to open the library.
It is time to open the library.
Time to read a bitch.
What'd you think about reading your fellow queens this time? Who was so embarrassing they needed to sit down?
Angina. So bad. So bad. She didn't even know how to tell a joke. Like, she'd never even heard the word joke before in her life. It was like... I was like,
The delivery and everything.
They had to come up with it on the spot. I get it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did they not know they were going to be on the show?
I know, right?
Come on.
Do they not learn all those songs that they've had?
Couldn't you have, like, you could have at minimum, like, 10 different ones. You could have one about,
that you,
like,
could use for anything.
Yeah, yeah. Like, a shitty makeup job, overweight, old, whatever, anything, right? You just have that in your repertoire. Like, if you don't go to, I mean, do you remember, like, was it on MTV where they used to do that, like, the your mama battle thing?
Oh, yeah, they still have it. It's called Wildin' Out. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You think those people don't prepare?
I know, right?
Their lines?
Yeah. I think the whole day for her, or the whole first episode, was a train wreck.
Oh, yes.
So something was wrong. Something happened. Somebody cursed her.
Oh, my God.
From the beginning of
this. Right?
Give
some evil eye right at her.
Because it was bad.
Yeah, it was so bad.
That was bad. Yeah.
Oh, it was so bad.
But we had some good ones.
So who'd you really like?
So I would say I definitely thought Jujubee killed it.
Absolutely.
Killed it. And I knew I was going to like her just by listening to her confessionals in between the show. Because I could just see the shit talking that was already starting. And I was like, oh, she's going to be really, like, this is comedy.
The sarcasm is sarcasm. Strong with this one.
Extremely. And I'm sure you picked up on it and loved it.
Oh, you know I did and loved it. Loved it, loved it.
Yeah, so Jujubee and Blair St. Clair ended up tying that and winning it. So that was pretty cool. And Blair was awesome, too, so.
Did you like Blair? Like, did you feel like? I mean, I thought it was really quick.
I love it. Quick-witted, very, yeah, like, sharp, yeah, and smart.
Yeah.
That's her. So she didn't disappoint.
Love it. Love it. So then we get into the big challenge of the week, right?
Right. Yes.
Well, tell us a little bit about Work the World Challenge and, like, what this is all about.
Well, I was a little first, I was a little disappointed because there was no runway. And I need to see a runway.
So when you do the runway, because again, this is my first All-Stars, when they do the runway, the idea is to showcase an outfit or your hair or your makeup or whatever. Like, it's just a showcasing of best look.
Well, it's a category. Usually he'll have a category.
Like a theme.
A theme, yeah. Okay. So, you know, extravaganza, eleganza, or it'll be all in black, or it'll be whatever.
Okay.
So, and then they come up with the most creative outfits to convey that theme in that category.
Nice.
And it's so impressive to see what they come up with and how they, you know, and from the makeup look, everything from head to toe.
I love that because that goes back to that whole, like, the artistic side and the creativity. Yeah.
Oh, you're going to love that part.
I'm excited for that.
So, but they didn't have that this time, and that's fine. I think they had to do it because they had, you know, all the other stuff from the beginning
of the
show.
Yeah.
So they did the Work the World tour, I guess a mini Work the World tour, if you will, where it really was like a talent show. And that's really what the actual tour that I saw in person was like. It was... Picture this. We were in the theater district in Houston, and I think it was Bayou Place, one of the big theaters that we have our musical theaters in, with the best stage and lighting and everything. So you can imagine the feast for the eyes when they put together this, they put together the whole show. Because as the different acts would come out, one act we had, there was a queen that came down on, she almost did like a pink act where she, you know how they come down on the silks, right? And they twirl on the set was just like magical. It looked like a forest and it was twinkling lights. I mean, things like that. It just was a feast for the eyes. And so
it seems very like Cirque du Soleil. And
that,
like,
was for that one.
Like,
yeah.
Mystique-ish,
yeah.
You know, like kind of cool burlesque and exactly. Like all those like fun.
But different things, right?
Right.
Different types of acts.
That.
I mean, there's been a queen in All-Stars that played the violin, Thorgy Thorge. She would sing and play the violin. And that was like super like different. I'd never seen somebody play a violin and sing before. That was a drag queen.
Right.
And so so that kind of thing. So that was very cool to see that they brought that to the first episode. So that was a good challenge.
Awesome.
And we'll get right into the acts. Which ones did you feel like you really just couldn't stand? Let's start there.
Well, okay. Mayhem was just over. It was just underwhelming. Like, I liked the initial setup. I liked her look. I liked those contact lenses seemed to be part of her regimen. Uh-huh. You know, that's something that she does. But there was way too long of her just sitting there. She wasn't doing anything. And I mean, they kept going over and panning to the other queens, and they were all like, oh, when's she going to do something? Like, she wasn't doing anything yet. She was just staring.
I thought, you know, I have to say, Mayhem was one of my, I wouldn't say favorites, but she was definitely on a list of ones that I'd liked in her season, in season 10. So I was really disappointed in her showing.
So I feel like if you were in a situation where you were in a club and she was doing the show and you had those really unique contact lenses in, right? Then sitting in the chair and where you like stare at different sections of the crowd.
It would work.
Could legit take this long.
Yeah.
Where you're just looking, and you can hear like a little gasp like, ooh, as it's like sort of going right. through the crowd, right? But when the audience is so small, like there's like 15 people, you look at the judges and you look at the rest of the people and you're done. You need to do the next thing. And she still just had like another 10 seconds of staring. And it was like, oh my God.
It was almost like she thought, I've done this before. It's worked before on stage. I'm going to just do it again, right? And it didn't work.
It works in a club, but yeah. It's not going to work.
Not for TV.
And not with the same group of people again. No. Every night it's a fresh group of people in a club.
Yep.
You can't do it again to the same stale group, you know? No good. So that was the downfall on that one. Let's see. Okay, so on Draw and All, well, I very much appreciated the mini little car and the play on the Drag Race. That was clever
which
and
I didn't
cute.
Get to the end.
It was cute. I liked the double reveal. That was yes. really trying to go all out.
Yes.
But then the rest of it was like the final outfit she was wearing. And then if you just looked at just that was like.
You just have a bodysuit on.
You just have like a. Yeah.
That was it. It was a bodysuit.
A strapless.
Bodysuit.
Bodysuit. I mean, not impressed. Like, I'm just not impressed. You know, like, you're a drag queen. Where's your extra? Yeah, you know, this isn't enough for me. So, and then, of course, the unfortunate forgetting of the choreography and just ad-libbing and not even very well.
Yeah.
Just doing her
just
thing.
Just fucking it all up.
Yeah. So those were my two that really stuck out to me. I mean, Derek Barry, again, I mean, I could annihilate her, but I won't. I'll just say I don't typically like impressions unless they're very, very, very good. Otherwise, it feels cringy. Like
the whole thing was cringy. That's exactly it.
Like the hair goes up on my arm and I'm just like, stop. Like no one thinks this is good.
So speaking of cringy, and I know I'm probably this is an unpopular opinion, but I mean, and I as much as I loved Blair, I love Blair as a drag queen. I personally thought the singing was terrible. So everybody else thought that she was somewhat decent. I thought it was terrible. My cringiness happens when people can't sing.
Yeah.
And think they can sing.
Yeah.
That really just gets me. So I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Even though she was kind of safe, she was in that middle, like, you didn't do too bad, but you didn't do too good either. She's just in that middle category. I didn't really like it.
My thing with her was that I didn't like her whole outfit, and it was too, like, she took, like, Uma Thurman's outfit from Poison Ivy and just took it. And, I mean, yeah, okay, you wore a blue wig instead of a red one. But you did the same eyes, you wore the same exact dress. It's just, I understand it's a different color, but the look itself, down to the ponytail, was identical.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, when I'm like looking for that creativity part, I'm like,
You're going to see, there's a lot of queens that have, there's none in this season, but in some previous seasons, there have been queens that have a certain face and that's the only face they bring. So for me, those are the ones that I get bored with really quick, just like you were saying. I don't like that.
Okay.
But a lot of them have that. There's several that have just like they have a way that they paint their face and they leave it like that, and that's how it is for every single look.
Interesting.
And I don't like that.
So at least there was some variety.
Yeah, and
Blair,
Michelle
right?
Visage will call that out.
Yeah.
She will call that shit out real quick.
I love that very much.
She'll be like, what else do you have?
Nice. So it's very very Project Runway. Like, we've seen this look from you.
She don't hold back.
You need to do more.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me some of your highs and lows over there.
Well, I'm going to go with highs because you covered the lows really well.
I did, thanks.
I'm going to agree with you on those. My highs were, I'm going to go with Miss Cracker and her comedy because I just love her shtick.
Yeah.
I'm going to keep saying that. And then we both thought that Mariah Balenciaga was so thought-provoking, so amazing, and that dance poetry number she did with the paint.
Yeah.
It really just, and wow, like it really, that made the hairs on my arm stand up a little bit. Because once
too.
You like were really like watching her, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
This is deep.
When it first started, and I couldn't quite decipher all the words. I didn't know exactly what was happening in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
It was coming off a little bit like performance art, right?
Right.
And
yeah.
So I don't always love performance art, but once I could the music and the lyrics sort of in a way the spoken word I could finally start grasping. I heard it, like I could really hear it. I was like, stains on the wall. Like I was like, okay, I'm like getting you,
right?
Like,
right.
Get what you're saying now. I'm very into this.
Yeah.
So I thought it was wonderful. I know that this was recorded, you know, a while back now, but my gosh, mm-hmm. you know, in June 2020. This is a very topical act to bring to a talent show. And I just thought that she performed it very well, beyond it just being striking as a choice,
right?
You know, to do this, because it's not your typical singing or dancing.
Right.
That's like what almost right. everyone's
going
to do.
It made you think.
Yeah, it did make you think. And she actually committed to it and performed it very well.
Exactly.
Which
Fully.
Doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
Like you could be doing an interpretive dance and look foolish.
Right. Right.
Or you can do an interpretive dance and people are drawn into
exactly.
your movements. I was drawn into her
I was
act.
Drawn, yeah.
So
exactly.
I was like, okay, you did great. And I love the Mariah Angelou. Oh,
Miss Mariah Angelou.
You're going to bring in a little Maya Angelou, and then you're going to bring in my Oprah, and then you got me.
We got you.
You got me. You got me.
Oh,
loved
and then,
it.
Well, and then, of course, so then the whole time when we were talking about insecurity, India's sitting there watching all of this and thinking, I better step it up, right?
Yeah.
So she comes and she dances her heart out.
She really did.
She literally... I forgot who said it on the judging panel, but they said, you came like you had something to prove.
Yeah.
And she absolutely danced like she had something to prove. And she went for it and she won that challenge.
So in a talent show, I think one of the biggest things you can do is commit to the act. Like whatever you're
yes.
doing, you cannot do it. Like, okay, how many times have we seen a talent show? And I don't care how old that person is. They could be a little kid or they could be an adult in a talent show where they're glancing off stage. Like, is my turn over? Or they're watching someone else do the dance. They're not in the moment,
right.
committed to the moment.
Yes.
India was in the moment, committed to the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Do I love India? No, I don't love her. But I think that she committed to it. You know, she was like, this is me. That front forward roll move. Okay?
And then the pose. Pose at the end.
And
hit it.
The sliding, like the last
yes.
move.
Yes.
I mean.
But she slid. It was 5, 6, 7, hit.
Oh, yeah.
She hit that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Real.
Committed and
hard.
And just did it. So way to fucking bring it. You know, she didn't forget her dance moves. Let's just say that on
no
Gina.
No way.
Okay? She didn't forget what her choreography was.
She did not
ad
lib. There was no ad libbing.
No. No, 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 no. So in the middle of people, I mean, we're definitely not going to go through everybody, but yeah. I felt like, you know, like Shay Coulier, like for me,
Did you like the pole dance?
Well, okay, so here's the thing about that. It takes a lot of actual strength and a lot of practice to be able to do those moves. Like, I think people are super dismissive of something like that because they look at it and they say, well, it's pole dancing. I mean, as if it's just like a throwaway thing when it is so hard.
Have you ever, side note, have you ever tried it?
Not in a way that's like sanctioned, but at
but
like,
like a class. Have you tried a class?
No, but
okay.
at like a playground fireman's pole, yes, I have. And not it's hard.
Okay, I've tried it. I've gone to a class.
Okay.
I could not, and I find myself, I feel like I'm quite strong, as you are as well.
Right.
I could not lift my body up on that thing. I mean, it is damn near impossible. I'm like, how do they do it?
And all the twirling
it takes the an insane amount of core strength, an insane amount of strength and technique. And I give it up to her for that entire act and being able to pull it all out. And as she revealed in Untucked, she had only been training for like 10 days.
That's insane to me.
10 days.
That's insane to me. I was like, I don't even know how you're possibly doing this. I thought it was amazing and, you know, props to her for sure.
Right.
Absolutely. So at the end of the day, though, I think that India, you know, and her commitment and her overall like quality of her act deserve to be top queen. Did you think someone else should have won?
No, I do. I thought maybe it was going to be a close call between India and Mariah. But I think on a whole level, yeah, India deserved that one.
Loved it. Okay, so then we got into the lip sync assassin.
Evie Oddly.
So I had never seen her before, and I am not a huge fan of those unnatural body movement dances.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they give me the creeps. It's very Exorcist. It just creeps me out. But I could appreciate, again, the all-in-ness. You know, it wasn't just moving her limbs in a certain way. Her face was right in there, giving the same message. Her outfit was thought out. Her hair was beautiful and complicated. And, I mean, you know, she deserved to win. India, in that battle, I'm sorry, she did not bring the dress. At all for this. I don't know where or why she even brought that in her luggage, to be honest with you. It looked like a church outfit or something. I don't know. It was just so weird. The fabric was like Laura Ashley or something.
Well, the song was Livin' La Vida Loca.
There was nothing loca about what
and
she was sporting.
She got dressed into it. That was a second outfit. So
yeah.
That was on purpose.
Yes.
She knew the song that she was going to be, that they all learn all the songs every week, mm-mm, right? Previous to coming to the show. So they know the first song is going to be Livin' La Vida Loca.
She should have had
what outfit?
Lightly colored.
Come on.
You know, just exciting feast for the eyes.
Shake
you know.
It. I mean, stuff that shakes, that moves, so
like,
that shimmies.
Like some,
that
maybe fringe
something.
Or some action.
Yeah.
Feathers. Something that would move.
Well, I mean, I think she did the best she could. However, I just feel like she was just... Maybe she had just gone all out in the challenge, and then by the time we got to that last one, she was like, "I can't."
She was just so grateful to be safe and that she had done a good job.
And the fact is, she wasn't going home.
Right.
What does it matter? And maybe, just maybe, you could play the game where you don't necessarily want to win.
Think
about that. You don't have to get any blood on your hands.
That's
that
very true.
So what if all of them just
Let the rumocracy take over.
Then you don't have to get any blood in your hands, and you never have to reveal who you actually wanted to go home.
That's a strategy.
It's possible.
All you have to do is watch the other lip sync person on stage and just kind of move around a little, and you can dodge that bullet. Sure. Interesting.
And you're like, you know what? I'm safe. Bye.
This
okay.
is gameplay, you know, and you've
got to think
about it.
That's how I would have played it if it was... So you already have somebody against you. If she had pulled, you know, somebody's name or whatever.
Yeah.
And then that person stayed.
Right. I'm with you. I'm with you. That it's always uncomfortable, right? When you have those kind of moments. Like when you know someone's written your name down.
Damage control.
Oh, yeah. All kind of damage control. Okay. So ultimately, we had the Rumocracy got to take out who they wanted.
Right.
I honestly thought they were going to take out Mayhem, because I'm only saying this from the standpoint of gameplay. Like, I think Derek was never going to win the ultimate prize. So you leave in the weak link.
That's what I would think.
That's what I would do.
It would have been the smart move.
In my opinion. Yeah. In our reality TV viewing together and hosting.
I think that they don't play like that, because I think they really truly... seem to want to keep in the best queens till the end.
Which is, that's integrity, right? That there's that whole mindset of, if I'm going to be the best, I want to beat the best.
Right.
Right? We've
that's
seen
the way
that
to play.
As well.
You're right.
But man, I think I would have left weak link in and just know that person's my buffer to going home.
Every time.
You know, every time. That's how
drag their asses to the end.
That's what I would do.
Y'all are dumb.
Well, maybe they're just like, the concept of alliances seemed fairly new in this whole thing when they were starting to talk, and India was talking to the various Mayhem.
Oh, she was talking to Mayhem,
yeah,
right?
And they saying, built that alliance. How's about you, like, don't vote me out and, like, all that kind of, like, I mean, definitely alliances are going to come into play here. So, huge. Now, moving into Untucked and getting a chance to see that second hour and giving the behind the scenes look of who really are friends, who really has had relationships in the past. Oh my God. If you are not watching the Untucked episode right after, you are only getting half the story. I mean, honest to God, I was like so shocked at how much was revealed in that.
Well, turns out Mariah and Mayhem are BFFs.
Shocking.
Shut up.
I had no idea. They didn't show that during the show.
No, they sure didn't.
So you would not have picked that up at all. I mean, overall, I totally recommend doing Untucked as well. Like, you should totally watch that part. I think it was a fun add-on for me that I think is totally worth it. So let's talk about judges. So are these all the same judges that you're used to seeing for All Stars?
Yes. You're always going to have Michelle Visage. Say that five times. Michelle Visage.
You gave it to me twice.
Michelle Visage.
Nice.
Carson Kressley and Ross Matthews. And then some fabulous celebrity that will pop in that is ultimately number one, like, RuPaul Drag Race fanatic.
I love
and
that.
And it's so cool to see who they bring up because they get some really top A-list people. And it's always interesting to see who they'll pull in.
Those super fans bring are always so much fun on the judges panel because they're always coming in like, oh my God.
Oh my, you should see their faces because they're like, their mouths are open and they're just like staring at RuPaul when he comes out. When he comes out in drag for the first time.
Yeah.
And they're all like,
I love
like,
it.
Like, I can't believe I'm here. You know, when celebrities act like they're, you know, in shock of seeing somebody, it's the funniest thing. So he does that to people. RuPaul has a tendency to just like wow them. I mean, because that would be my life's goal to just see RuPaul in drag, like, and meet her.
That.
Like,
does she
fully.
Do shows anymore or anything like that?
No, I mean,
well, I don't know. Girls got to get a paycheck. I don't know all her different ways.
Oh, she get paid. She get paid on other things. She's an actress now.
Yes. And I do have to say that I definitely noted the RuPaul product placement and or
all through the show.
Infomercial portions of the show. Yeah, that was different for me. I wasn't expecting that. So I was like, oh, what is this? Because, you know, we've watched Survivor together and other things. That doesn't exist.
No.
So I was like, what is this?
It's literally like, RuPaul's name is on every single thing from the show from the beginning, from the first breath to the last
down
credit.
Down to Roomocracies. From the reveal to the Roomocracy.
We go just make a list.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
You're going to be like, wow, how too many true. Ways can he possibly put his name into this show? Just wait. You just wait. It's going to be hilarious. But it's just part of it. Fans, we just know.
You roll with it. You're like, Roo.
We're like, Roo. It's just Roo.
I love it. I love it. Well, I think we're going to have an awesome adventure going down the path here, checking out our new drag queens.
Yeah,
I have nothing.
I'm excited.
I think I'm super excited about doing this reality show with you, Aish, because I feel like we need some extra this summer. I feel like we've been in Corona times. Everybody's been bedraggled, you know, and I feel like this is like, it's summertime. We all need to like bust out with, like, you know, our shorty shorts and our good hair. Finally get those wigs dyed, ladies.
Get that wig on, baby.
Yes. And just, like, fucking show up and show out, right?
Right.
That's what we're going to do on this cast with you guys.
Be your most authentic self. Just express yourself in every way that you want to and be happy, you know? Live your life and be happy.
This
and
show makes
not
me happy.
Yeah, and not worry about what other people think.
Yeah.
And that's
I love
it.
That.
And well, I love it.
This is Caroline.
And this is Aisha.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. This has been an original Pod Clubhouse production. Pod Clubhouse is a podcast network dedicated to encouraging collaboration among podcasters and friends to bring a fresh voice and diverse perspective on a wide array of content. Please visit and leave a comment for us at podclubhouse.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast feeds on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Pod Clubhouse. Our DMs are always open, and we'd love to hear from you.
Pod Clubhouse.